Yesterday, a roster of luminaries, from Bill Clinton to Meryl Streep, paid tribute to the late writer William Styron at a memorial service in New York. Styron, the author of such best-selling novels as Sophie's Choice and The Confessions of Nat Turner, died last November. His wife and lifelong companion, Rose Styron, was recently in Paris, where she spoke to reporter Eleanor Beardsley. Here now is their conversation.
William Styron loved France, and France loved William Styron. He helped found the Paris Literary Review, and former President François Mitterrand made him a commander of the Légion d'honneur. His novel Set This House on Fire, about an American expatriate painter, was more popular in France than America. It drew on Styron's experience of living in Rome and Paris in the 1950s. William and Rose Styron came back to Paris almost every year. Recently, Rose Styron returned for the first time without him. Sitting at a small table outside at the Café de Flore on the Boulevard Saint-Germain, she spoke of her memories of Paris with her husband, Bill.
In Paris, as in Rome, where we met, Bill and I would walk all day. We walked all over Paris, and that was the thing that we loved to do in the daytime. At night, it seemed to me we were always at some bar or other, either eating or drinking or both, with all our friends. Those were magic times.
Styron's prose was rich and expansive in the southern tradition of Faulkner and Woolf. But writing never came easy to him. He once said, "I am not a prodigy, but fate willing, I can produce art." Rose Styron says her husband was also a perfectionist, getting every page right before moving on to the next one.
When I first knew him, I thought he just worked hard. The longer I was married to him, the more I thought he was a genius because of his incredible creativity, his memory, his narrative ability, his imagination.
It was that narrative ability, Styron's skill at creating haunting, unforgettable characters, that so affected his readers. In The Confessions of Nat Turner, Styron retold the story of a Virginia slave revolt from the perspective of its leader. The book was published in 1967 to rave reviews and controversy.
I remember him picking up the three children, and he sat them all on the mantelpiece and said, "I have finally finished The Confessions of Nat Turner, and I want to celebrate." And he was so happy, because he had no idea what was coming, which was terrible criticism from the black community.
Styron thought his book might affect some kind of reconciliation in U.S. race relations. Instead, he was attacked by a group of African-American writers as being racist and patronizing. He was anything but, says Rose Styron, and the attack affected him profoundly for the rest of his life. Styron says her husband's characters often came to life in his dreams.
He had awakened one night from a dream of Sophie, who was a gal who had been at Auschwitz, whom he had known when he was living in a boarding house in Brooklyn. And he had lost track of her. She was beautiful and a little older than he, and he admired her. And I don't know whether they talked much or not, but he never forgot her. And he woke up and said, "I'm going to stop the novel I'm writing now and write about Sophie, because I feel I must do this."
Sophie's Choice took 7 years to complete. During that time, Rose accompanied Bill to Auschwitz on one of his trips. She remembers how the book nearly took over their life.
He was so engrossed in this book, and I had, you know, four little children by this time. And I would get his attention every now and then by getting into Sophie's voice, so I could pull him out of whatever he was in and could get his attention about some stupid domestic thing. So I lived it with him and knew that it was going to be absolutely marvelous.
Rose Styron is also a force of her own. She is a poet, writer, and longtime activist and board member of Amnesty International. For a time, it was she who traveled the world, bringing him home the stories and news he loved. They were always close, whether together or apart, she says. They supported political campaigns, joined the civil rights movement, and raised four children along the way. In 1985, Styron fell into a depression which led him to the brink of suicide. From that experience, he published Darkness Visible, a memoir of madness. Rose Styron says her husband was always drawn to life's difficult themes.
He had always been interested in slavery. He grew up in Tidewater, Virginia. And perhaps his life, you know, as a young writer in Brooklyn, brought on his awareness of the Holocaust. So I think they were natural themes to him. He had a big mind and a big soul, and he cared terribly about humanity.
The couple's best times, she says, were at their vacation home on Martha's Vineyard, surrounded by friends, where Bill loved to animate conversations and dinner tables. This week, many of those friends gathered again to say goodbye to one of America's greatest writers. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.